Welcome, everybody, to the Ambit National Business Builder Call. My name is Lane Winsett, National Consultant with Ambit Energy. So happy to be your host here tonight. Boy, do we have an exciting call, one of the most powerful calls I think we've ever done with the company, because we have two of the top trainers and people that have really shown a tremendous amount of success in our business. They have a great track record. They're outgoing, dynamic, enthusiastic. There's not enough adjectives to describe them. I always appreciated them and their trainings, and have attended many trainings that they've done on a personal level. I'd like to welcome you guys, EC, Jeremy, and Mimi Hennessy. Are you on the line?
Yes, we are here. Hello, Lane.
All right,
thanks,
man. I'm so excited to get the call here tonight. I know there's a lot of people that maybe are on the call that have never heard your story, and that's what I'd like for you to do. Can you kind of share with us a little bit about who you are, how you got involved with Ambit, and kind of where you see us going in the future, and then we'll break into some of the training.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lane, for the opportunity. And I want to thank everyone that's on the call tonight for taking this time to, in your busy schedule on a Sunday night, to join this call. Well, a little bit about me and my background. Me and my wife, we've been married for about this year 17 years. And we met a young lady at the gym by the name of Julia Flintes. Well, I did, at 5 o'clock in the morning on the treadmill, when she asked me what I want to make an extra income. I wasn't really trying to talk that early in the morning, but I was just, small talking. And she invited me twice to come see a business presentation, and I did not show up twice. So that was like I was a bad prospect. I didn't listen. However, I was just thinking I was just busy living life, and pretty much we all just busy living life. So we thought, struggling financially, didn't know what it was all about. I wish I would have jumped on it sooner. However, what made me take another look was it was come out of a force, because my wife was laid off of work after 12 years. And this is 8 months down the road, people. So a whole 8 months went by, still struggling, still trying to make ends meet. But then now we get hit with a big bang. So I saw Julia at the gym again, and I asked her, hey, are you still doing this business that you tried to share me with? And she said, yes, come on out and take a look at it. And I came out the third time, saw what Amber was really all about, and I was blown away. And I knew this was a sign from God, because I've been praying, asking God for something that we can do outside of our 9-to-5 jobs. Hey, your job, don't quit your jobs if you don't want to, but we needed something else to sustain us. And I'm glad this kind of fell in place. And presentation, signed up, got became my own first customer, made my investment back in 48 hours. And let me tell you a little bit, let me back up a little bit. Before I got going in the business, I brought it to my wife, and I wanted to show her the video. And she was like, I don't want to see the video, I'm not really into it, because she was just laid off. So she's kind of not feeling all the energy side of it. And I said, this was her words exactly, and I quote, if this is what you want to do, you go and do what you got to do. And I was like, okay, well, hey, I wasn't asking for your permission, but I want to show you that, hey, I got something that we can benefit from. So me being the man in the house and the husband, I took the lead and led out with this business all by myself. I don't say that as a negative sign, but as men, and I say this nicely, sometimes we got to lead out and really take that forefront, take that first step. And sometimes the ladies do it the same thing with the men behind it. So we know that husband-wife dynamic is not always lined up, but I thank God that I took that step of faith and led on. Now, what got her on board was when I got started in the business and started seeing some little financial increases, then that started piquing her interest. And I'm going to kind of pause right there and introduce my wonderful better half, Mimi, to kind of pick up that part of it.
Yeah, guys. So, I mean, I think he strategically did this. I'm not sure if he talked with the upline or what. But how he got me on board was I started seeing something different with the bank account, of course, that was, some credits started hitting our account. And, you know, I know that he had switched over, you know, as far as our electricity company, and I knew it was supposed to be a debit, you know, money coming out of the account. But when I saw it being, you know, gained, that's when I was like, okay, something's not right here. I knew something was wrong with this company. Like, you know, and I called him and I was like, babe, see, I told you something was wrong. We got credits going up in here. I don't know what's going on with this account. And he was like, wait, hold up. Sweetheart, we are getting paid from this business. No, they're not. There's nothing wrong. This is exactly what's supposed to happen. And that's when something went off in my brain. And I went like, ding, ding, okay. All right. Let me see that video that you were trying to show me, because this something's happening here. And when I watched the video, it made total sense. And also when I saw the team that we had behind us and, you know, the actual help and aid and, you know, being there for any questions and anything that we had, I definitely jumped on. And that is what really got me in the business, is being able to see it. And, you know, at the time where I had came from, you know, the reason, honey, why I said I did not want to be involved, because I came from electricity. I was laid off from an electricity company that I was with for 12 years. So I literally had grown up in that business. So that is the reason why I was like feeling some kind of way at that time and the first layoff. But, you know, this is something that has truly, truly blessed our lives. I'm so grateful for Julia for getting up, you know, that early and talking to my husband at 5 o'clock in the morning, because that would not have been me. But we're grateful, and we're just, you know, so glad that I'm glad that Jeremy took the initiative.
Also, can't leave out Emerson, because Emerson was the front desk clerk that checked me in that early. And I think Julia and him was dating at the time. And I say this very honestly, me, Julia, Emerson, we rotated each other's lives at that gym for probably a whole year without even talking to one another. Mm-hmm. And we just walked in, worked out, and left. And he checked me in numerous of times. And that's amazing how you don't know who is in your life right now, that's circling your life right now, that can make a huge impact in your life right now. I'm going to give it back to my wife.
Well, I'm going to give it back to Lane.
Well, guys, you know, first of all, Jeremy, can you share, I know that Mimi just shared a little bit about her background being in the electric business and energy business, which of course helped out tremendously, but can you share with me a little bit about your background experience?
Absolutely. So I've done a lot of different things. I love working with my hands when I was younger. So I did a lot of electrical and mechanical assembly, and I built computers back in the day, and loved being techie and things like that. So that's what my background was, and I've worked in customer service jobs as well. So I've always been good with my hands, teaching people, instructing people. Also, little side note, me and my wife were both a fitness instructors, so we always were people-oriented and worked with people. So that was what we had going for us before ended.
Well, you know, a lot of people are just absolutely petrified of public speaking and training in front of groups of people. But both of you guys have just got almost evangelical capabilities. I mean, the first time I saw you, you do such a professional business presentation, and I did want to commend you on that and let you know that y'all are just great at that. And I know a lot of people appreciate the meetings and trainings that you do, you know, in person, and I think that's a very valuable asset that you bring to the table. How has that affected your career, being able to, evidently because y'all are trainers, did it come natural, or was it something you had to kind of work into, or tell me how that all unfolded?
Well, that's a great question, and I really owe it all to the upline and the team throughout Ambit Land. Just starting off as a marketing consultant, I mean, we had BP meetings in person weekly, probably multiple ones every week. And I went to all of them with Julia, Emerson, Kevin, and Rose. When I met Kevin and Rose, they were ECs at the time. And they really took us under their wings. And Kevin and Rose, they did the presentation. They led it all out. And I saw other people, leaders throughout Ambit, and I just picked and pulled different skill sets that I gravitated to from what they've shown and presented, and I just kind of formed my own style with it. So it's nothing that I reinvented anything. I just got the high energy from Rose, got the articulation from Kevin, got the excitement from Julia. And, you know, those are little things that I picked up along the way from the upline. Then we have people new that comes into the business with the training part. Like AJ, he does a great training with his team because he has that teacher background. So I've always willing to learn from anyone, even no matter what rank they are. We have a great dynamic rock star, Shekayla, executive consultant Shekayla, who's on a five-star trip as well. And she's been our dynamite since she's been joining this business through ups and downs. And she's leading her own team, been a great influence person on the team. So we've learned from a lot of people, and we're grateful for that.
Awesome. Well, it sounds to me like God blessed you with a Super Bowl team to join, and that was just a real blessing in itself. Now, Mimi, let me ask you a question. You're going to share tonight how to master an effective cold market approach.
Definitely. So, yeah, when it comes to the cold market, I can honestly tell you, I've always been that type of very, believe it or not, man, shy. Simply just really introverted, and it took a lot of practice and, you know, scary moments that I just had to force myself out of, and a lot of prayer. But I really wanted to be able to relate with people, you know, and that's one of my greatest prayers was, you know, Lord, in order for me to be effective in your kingdom, please give me the ability to be able to talk to people, to feel comfortable. And, you know, it's just things that I've learned along the way. And, you know, practice makes perfect. And I know a lot of times it does seem very scary and unknown. But what I want to do is go over, you know, five bullet points to kind of touch on in reference to, you know, touching your, you know, getting in contact or becoming comfortable with your cold market. So the first thing that I want to talk about is, you know, think about what is your target type? And when I say target types, I mean, like, you know, number one, who are you targeting? You know, is for ladies, you know, is it women or is it moms in particular? You know, is it people that you do business with that you want to target? You know, who is your target type? And secondly, you know, where is your target type? Is it in the gym like us? You know, is it the restaurants that you go to? Is it where you go to get your nails done, ladies? Is it where you go to get your hair cut, men that have hair? I'm sorry, baby. But, hey, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, where is your target place? And then lastly, when? When is the time that you want to target to reach your cold audience? Are you an early riser? Like Julia, man, I have no idea how she was able to get up every morning. And Emerson, you know, being at front desk at the gym and approaching Jeremy at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like I told you before, that would not be me. I'm not that, well, I wasn't that early morning person, you know? Or is it your lunch around lunchtime? Is it evening time that you want to target your people, or dinner time, you know? So in essence, let's be intentional about who your target types are. It's just structure, guys. That's all that it is. And so point number two, you want to try approaches that fit you and your personality, or you can personalize ideas that have been given to you. If you just started the business, you're like, okay, well, you know, how do I talk to people? You know, what do I say? And you may have those trainers, or, you know, you may have your upline or downline or friends, or, you know, some mentor that tells you an idea, and, you know, they might give you a script or something. You're just like, you know, you try it out and you're just like, ooh, or you sound robotic, right? You sound very robotic. And I'm telling you guys, you got to find something, you know, change those words around that you may have a script for. you know, or make it you. You want to make it personalized to where you don't feel robotic or you don't sound robotic to the person that you're or the people that you're trying to target. Make them feel comfortable. Make it a casual, normal conversation. Like, for example, if you were to say, you know, I've been in the store and, you know, I might see something I honestly do like, you know, a lady's shoes or, you know, Hokas or a shirt or a dress or something, you know, and I'm just like, hey, you know, I really like those shoes that you got on. Did we start a whole conversation? And I'm just like, you know what? I like this conversation. Hey, let me get your phone number. Let's talk, okay? Hey, listen, I got a phone number, right? And it's just, that's just a prime example of, it was just a target. Like, listen, I was in my favorite store. You know what I'm saying? I was in Nike. You know, met a lady, saw something that I liked, talked to her, got her phone number, and bam, started a relationship. And that way, you know, eventually when we're going to talk, she's definitely going to ask, okay, well, I'm going to ask her, what do you do? And in essence, they're probably going to ask more than likely, what they do ask is, what do you do, right? So that's just an example that I have there. And my third point is you want to share your brand and your value. And again, it's just being yourself, but be ready when people ask what you do, right? You want to, if you need to practice with yourself in the mirror, if you need to go to the mall, let me tell you what we did. So me and Jeremy, in the beginning stages, to break the ice and to get us not to be so nervous and shy around folks, what we would do, we would go to the mall and we would actually literally say, like, if it was like a guy in a store that we were in, I would say, hey, Dave, okay, this is your moment. This is your chance. You got it, Dave. You got it. You can do this. Go talk to him. Go introduce yourself. You know, but it broke the ice. And, you know, it was just trying things to see what worked. You know, hey, man, you know, and he would go do it. Or he would say, hey, Dave, you're in the store. Go talk to her. Go, you know, introduce yourself. See if you can spark up a conversation. Again, you're targeting the type of audience that you want and you being yourself. And then you're, you know, you tell them about your business, how you feel comfortable telling it. So let me give it to Jeremy.
I have to interject here on that part because I know everybody hearing that and it sounds good, but it don't feel good. I'm going to let you be, I'm going to be real with that. I mean, yeah, these are great tips, but these are uncomfortable situations. And your anxiety level will rise.
Skyrocket.
It did for me. And let me just share a little bit on the man side. Women have a certain way of communicating that's totally night and day from a man's standpoint of view. So when I went out and tried to connect, you know, or ask, that was very uncomfortable. But to succeed in life, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and just doing what you do not want to do because you get what you want when you do what you don't want to do. So we wanted success. We wanted to build a team. So, yes, that was a challenge for us. It still kind of gets anxiety. Mm-hmm. Nobody has that mastered. So that was part of the test that we did, and that helped us now over time to stay calm under pressure.
Right. Exactly. And that's a great point, Jeremy. Being able to stay calm when you feel like you are just about to lose it, right? You're just a nervous wreck, but go for it. You never know who needs the opportunity, right? You don't know who needs to save money, and you don't know who needs to make money. They need to hear what you have. You have a jewel, and you need to share it. So that was great. Thanks, babe. So point number four, establish relationships and strong communication and credibility. So the thing is, when you establish these relationships with the people that you're targeting, that you're talking to, that you end up getting their phone number, you start communicating, you're building a trust there. This is all a trust factor. And when you do, you know, when you show people who you truly are, just being yourself, that's where people begin to slowly but surely trust you. And that's when we can, you know, offer the opportunity. Hey, you know, this is what I do. This is the energy. You know, let me see if I can help you save money. Or, you know, if you're interested, I want to be able to, you know, introduce this opportunity to you and see if it might help you and your family as it helped ours. right? And then point five is refine your approach based on your results. Now, I'm not saying the very first thing that you do is going to work. The very first approach that you make is going to work. I don't know. Everyone has to try and see what works for themselves, what you feel comfortable doing. What is your personality? How do you reach people? How do you affect people? How do you touch people? You know, you got to, whatever didn't work, hey, go back to the drawing board. You know, okay, this step didn't work. Okay, let me try this instead. You have so many opportunities and open doors to take advantage of this. But listen, people, all you got to do is walk through it. That's it. Walk through the door. Walk through the door of opportunities. So, like I said, it's not like we're not masters. I promise you, every time we get up before people or we even talk, we're nervous. But, you know, again, see what works for you. Be yourself. Where do you feel comfortable? And that's going to be your greatest victory, and that's how you gain success, is being yourself, you know, and just, you know, following these simple points that I had, you know, that I had given and that, you know, that I just shared with you, because I know that it did help us. And when you find what works for you, listen, it's for you. It's for you. All right, Lane.
Awesome, babe.
Wow. I was taking, guys, my hands tired. I hope everybody else was doing the same thing. Number one, you know, absolutely, Mimi, you know, you got to hone in on, I always say birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, if you're an attorney, go after attorneys. If you were, you know, a welder, go after welders. If you're a fireman, go after firemen first. Why? Because you speak their language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you communicate, and they understand. In other words, you don't have to, that rapport is almost a natural rapport there. And you can speak from life experiences to do that. So in prospecting, I always tell people, go after first the people that are within your sphere of influence that you already have some language of. Communication with. Number two, you brought up a really important thing. You know, you need to make your approach, you know, not so robotic. Now, how do you do that? That's through repetition, spaced repetition, internalization of information, hearing, seeing, doing over and over and over again. You've heard me talk about it. If you've ever listened to any of these calls at all, it's just like a basketball player shooting hoops. It's just like a baseball player hitting balls. It's just like a pool player, you know, playing pool. Everything's repetition through muscle memory, right? So if you're casting the rod, catch a big fish, you want to catch a big marlin. I call them blue marlins. That's what we're looking for in the business a lot of time. You got to go out, you got to cast your bait. You got to be able to throw that rod out there and put the bait right where you want to. And your approach is effectively, that is your rod and reel that you're catching, that you can go out every day. And so the first time you go out and try a new approach, maybe from your upline or something that's written that you've seen or somebody that's communicated, hey, you ought to try this or try that, it's going to come out and it's going to be terrible. You know, it's just like Jesse James didn't become Jesse James overnight. He had to draw his gun a bunch of times. So my point that I'm trying to make is that you got to get out there through repetition and try over and over and over again. And pretty soon it becomes a reflexive thought. You no longer have to think about it. You're like an AWACS airplane. Everywhere you go, you become a monster, in becoming a recruiter, because you're so good at throwing that pitch out there and shooting that hoop and laying that bait exactly where you want to lay it, that it becomes natural and very comfortable. The third thing you shared, which was to really focus in on the value of our brand. Okay, now this is so important. Why? Because every once in a while you'll get involved with a conversation where somebody goes, oh, that's one of them multi-level marketing pyramid deals. You know, hey, look, we're going into 18 years as a company now. We're a $1 billion company owned by a multi-billion dollar company. We've already made over 90 millionaires, for God's sakes. Go point to me another network marketing company other than Amway that has done that. There is none. So my point is, we never need to apologize. We never need to back up. We never need to feel like we're doing some kind of weird, crazy pyramid scam. We are a legitimate company, and we need to have that presence about ourselves, and we need to defend the company as well when we get into that type of thing. But my point is, and the point you were making there, is to feel good in your heart, and then therefore that ambiance is going to come out that you're you know, sharing the brand and the value to help people. Also, you know, when Jeremy pitched in and he says, hey, man, I got to go over and talk to the jewelry guy or the cologne guy at the mall. You know, I mean, how do you do that? You have to overcome it through fear, right? So fear motivation is what's going to prevent you. Fear of rejection is what's going to prevent it. There's only one way to overcome the fear of rejection, and that is the fear of failure of your own personal goals that is greater than the fear of somebody saying no, because there's only three things people can do when you go and you approach them. They're either going to say yes, no, or maybe, right? And that's better off. That's 66%, which your Vegas at. So wrapping it up, you know, you talked a little bit about number four, which was established trust. You know, I always say when you first meet people, they're a stranger, right, in cold marketing. The second time, hopefully, you built a relationship to where they become an acquaintance. And then the third time you put them in front of the story, you should have developed a friendship. You should have broke the ice, made a friend, find common ground. And people are going to buy you. They're not going to buy Ambit. I can tell you that right now. And finally, refine your approach. And I thought this was really so important of what you highlighted there was the fact that you got to reevaluate. You got to look, hey, this approach is not working for me. And I need to do something different. And the great thing about it is that, hey, there's a sea of people out there. Just go to the barrier reef and start fishing, you know, and try different things. And you might find, I mean, for me, the thing I've taught literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people over the years, in my 35 years in the industry, I came up with something that works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. But I just ask people, hey, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? Have you ever thought of alternative ways of making money? If I could show you a way that you could make a little extra income on the side, would that be pretty exciting? Yes or no? You know, and I'm going to sit there and watch them. I'm going to listen to their voice inflection. I'm going to watch their eyes. I'm going to watch their language. And I'm only looking for the people that go, money-motivated? Yeah, you're damn right I'm money-motivated. What you got? You know, that's what I'm looking for is that positive, immediate response. Now, I want to turn it over to Jeremy. Jeremy, we're going to talk a little bit about something I think is so important that is really basically how to attract and then qualify the people to recruit into your Ambit business and become a money magnet. And that's what I want to hear tonight. I want to become a money magnet. Let's do it together.
Man, well, hey, how can I follow behind Mimi and you like that? That's some tough pressure, Lane, but I'm going to do my best. And I want to make this very simple, and I have 5 points I want to share and kind of hope you kind of can digest this. So when you're saying identifying, attracting, and qualifying the right people to recruit the business, first point is you want to define your ideal candidate. I mean, if this may come to something you can relate to, think about when you're in the dating scene or how are you trying to attract your mate. What was your preferences? How did you what attracts you to them? So when you're looking for your ideal candidate, start by clearly defining their characteristics, values, and skills that they will possess. Those are kind of like what we look for when we pre-qualifying people and trying to see if they'll be a good fit for them. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to waste nobody's time and you don't want to waste your time. And I like to keep it real like that. I mean, at this certain level in the game, when we hit a certain time we spend in the business and a certain rank, you don't have time to waste. Not that you've been rude or evil, but you just want to say, hey, you know, you want to keep it moving. And you'll lose momentum by having to pull and drag that process along the way. Consider some factors like motivation, work ethics, and willingness to learn. And align yourself with the company's mission. So with work ethics, that's that waking up early in the morning, going to the gym. If you want to really find out who's a good fit, go to the gym early in the morning. Obviously, that's how I got in, and I'm not the only one waking up going to the gym. You got a whole lot of people there. As a matter of fact, we've had some a lot of great people that's currently on our team that we've met at the gym since then. That's been doing a great job and definitely building and growing along the way. What are some of those key things that you can do? Number two is leverage your personal branding. This is something that I had to learn over time But just be yourself. I mean, people knew me and my wife from fitness and working out because that's what we did a lot of. People knew us from that. But also, we can also add more value to your life other than fitness, but also showing you how to make an income, extra income with a service you already have and use. So that personal branding helped us be another layer to talk to people. Now, everybody don't have that luxury. However, there's easy things to do, the simplistic way to do it. And that's the next thing is social media. That's one of the things I was very afraid of to post about the business in the beginning. I was afraid to share what I did on social media. But what else you have to lose? You got to get out there some kind of way. And Lane, you said a certain point over and over again a few months ago about fishing and that illustration. And I'll never forget in our 2019 ambition, Chris Chambliss gave a speech at the end, and he shared how he liked to go fishing. And he said he went fishing at this spot and was successful, but over time he noticed the bites start getting less and less and catching less fish at this same spot. So he realized that sometimes you got to get out of the comfort zone and get to different avenues and different platforms to reach where those fishes are. Who are the fishes or the people, right? So if they're not at the gym, where are they at? They're at the mall. If they're not at the mall, where else are they at? They might be at the Walmart store. You never know. Same thing with social media. You know, you got a different generation that's on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You have a different ways where you can go out and capture and promote yourself and share content. Everything does not have to be ambit on your social media platforms. I think that's one mistake a lot of people do when you're trying to attract, and that's what we're talking about, attracting. When you're posting ambit, energy, ask me how, over and over again, you're polluting your feed, and the algorithm don't like that. Your followers probably not going to like that. So nobody's not going to like that. And you probably look at the post and it has no likes. So it's, you want to be more generic. And that's what even I had to learn too. I didn't figure that out till a while. So another great person you want to follow with that creative style is Shakayla. She has a lot of great reels and storylines. Mm-hmm. And Julia does a great job too. I mean, those are simple things that you can do. It don't have to be perfect to the notch, but just something of value that people can resonate to. Identify those pain points that people have and offer a solution. And here's what I do with that, and you can do this too. You can all steal this idea and use it to your liking. Instead of posting about call me for a new service, call me to save money, how about you share something that can already save them money by how to reduce their energy usage, which doesn't require them to do anything but just take a few little moments to look around the house, what they can do to adjust in their home to reduce their energy usage. Those are some of the leading with value that I do, and I tell them this is for free, and when you learn this, go share this with a friend or family member and tell them where you learned it from. Hopefully that'd be a lifeline that can send a referral to your business. You never know how that falls on people's ears. And also engage in these posts. Don't just post something and never go back and look who's liking or commenting on it. Engage with them, interact with them, because people like that participation involvement, because that might, you'd be surprised. People may never like and never comment on your post, but they know everything you post. Reason why? Because I was just at a funeral this past week. It was a close family member of mine. I traveled to North Texas outside of Dallas, and we had family come from all over. And when they saw me, they said, yeah, I've been following you on Facebook, and how are your wife and how are the kids, and I see y'all working out and you have this energy business. I like to know more about that. And I had no idea who these people were, but they were family members that was following me on Facebook. They didn't like, they didn't comment, but they watch. And you got a lot of watchers out there, so you might want to definitely be aware of that. And qualifying through conversation. Now, this is the strategic part of it and something that takes practice. So when you're qualifying somebody, you want to ask quality questions so you get quality answers. One thing I like to do with people is ask them, what is your passion? You know, some people don't have passion. You don't want them on your team. I want somebody on their team with no passion. You got to be passionate about something. And if they say, I don't know, I mean, that's probably not a good quality of response. You know, you want to get them to RC. You want to make some money? I don't know. I mean, you never know. So I always ask them, what is their passion about? What do they like doing? If they can't answer that in a few seconds, then you know, you got to keep it moving. Also, when they tell you what their passion is, ask them a question. What drives you? I mean, what keeps you going? I mean, what drives you? I could use myself as an example as far as getting up, going to the gym. There's been days I don't feel like going to the gym. But what drives me is that feeling of fulfillment, knowing I'm going to see my morning crew there. They're going to uplift me. I'm going to uplift them, the accountability. That's a driver there. And some people need some of that in their life. And you'd be surprised if you just get up and just do it. You'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. That's some qualifying questions. Now, when it comes to the business side, you know, what's some of those pain points? You know, what is it that you're seeking the next month or two as a financial goal? And what are you doing right now to achieve that? They say nothing, you know, then say, I have something that you should take a look at that can get you closer to that goal. And if you partner with me and allow me to work with you and show you, will you be willing to work with me over the next 45 days? And we all know what that 45 days is. That's the countdown for Jumpstart. So it's something I share with the team. You give people a 45-day, the jobs do it, what they call a 45-day probation period. I don't want to use probation period, but I use a trial run. 45 days, just see what happens. You never know. Some people start slow and pick up fast. Some people start fast and slow down. This business is not a race, people. It's a marathon, okay? So don't feel like you got to earn your $1 million the first year, the first 5 or 10. It's not designed like that. It's designed to reach your goals and what you're seeking in your life and having the team to cheer you on when you do that. So you want to attract and qualify. Lead with value. Give them some great positive energy out in the world. And trust me, what you put out positive, it will definitely return to you, put out there the right way. I know that was a mouthful.
No, once again, I'm taking lots of notes. I hope everybody else is. It's very, very good information. Leverage your personal branding. We've talked a little bit about that and the importance of the credibility of the company. And, of course, the social media part, I can't begin to tell you how important that is. And, you know, just to ditto what you said, you look, whether we like it or not, right, we're in a business, we have to brand ourselves, and it's important, especially when you guys are what I consider in the industry a dynamic duo, okay? And dynamic duos are the most powerful, it's kind of like a nuclear reactor, so to speak. You get the best of both worlds because you get both the female and the male side of the business, and if those are really the cylinders are all firing, you know, right. And that's the importance of making sure that one of the spouses doesn't have one foot in the tub and one foot on the tile. You know, you got to get everybody in the tub. And so, you know, but when you're in the tub and everybody is rocking and rolling and all the cylinders are firing, there is nothing more powerful in this industry than a dynamic duo. And so I think that is absolutely critical in social media that you're branding yourself. If you know, we could do a whole call on that, I'm sure. Of course, you know, there's so many people that are so good at that, but I do believe it's very important. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, look, the first thing you got to do is if you want to be a millionaire, you got to want to be, you know, and so you got to want to be mentally before you can be physically, right? So, you know, that's the first step is you got to tell yourself, you know, I want to be a millionaire, I will be a millionaire, whatever the affirmation might be. So getting out of your comfort zone is critical for you to, you know, be able to accomplish your goals and feel positive about yourself as you're out sharing different things with people. I like what you said about asking quality questions. That's pre-qualifying. In other words, we never want to prejudge anybody, right, by their clothes or by whatever, you know, race, color, creed, mm-hmm. religion, whatever it might be. But we do want to pre-qualify. And the only way you can qualify anybody is through questions. And there's an old saying, telling ain't selling, asking is. So if you're mm-hmm. if you're always asking questions, you're pre-qualifying people. And it's like you said, if you have somebody come back and, you know, you ask the question like you'd suggested, what's your passion, which I think that's a great upfront qualifying question, because you know if they're Live or Memorex right there, right? I mean, if they come back, like you said, and they go, passion, what's that? What are you talking about? You know, or what drives you, and they don't have any drive, you know, then how are they going to build a $1 million business in your business if they don't have any drive, if they don't have any passion, okay, mm-hmm. about life? So I think that is absolutely critical, because a lot of times people in this industry think they got to go out and get a whole bunch of people involved. But technically, it's about getting the right people involved. And how you get the right people involved is by pre-qualifying those people and asking, telling questions, and then making sure that when they respond to you, that you follow up, get them in front of the story, and then, of course, walk them through the different, what door, I call it gate one, gate two, gate three, whether it's a one-on-one, two-on-one, company overview, getting them on a training call like this, getting them to a semi-national convention, getting them to a convention. And that brings me to this, Ambition 2024. Guys, okay, that's the big kahuna, next big impending event that we're all focused on. Tell me a little bit about your experience over the years with Ambition, and why everybody needs to start talking up Ambition 2024 and working with their organizations in preparation for that.
Oh, man. Well, Ambition, those that's been in the business, we all know what that is. And like we have a motto here, or probably everybody said, if you want to grow, you got to go. So if you're not growing, you're not growing. And we look forward to that event every single year, because every year we get some nuggets out of there that we can use as building blocks for the business. I already gave you a building block from 2019 that Chris Chambers gave us. And I still remember that and follow that. So you definitely want to go. And then all the bonuses that comes with it. With the new comp plan, I don't know what they're cooking up for this year or what they may add on as another layer, because this really has been a game changer with the new comp plan. People still learn it, but guess what? Y'all still getting paid, right? So if you like getting paid, definitely get registered and attend the Ambition, because you're just going to make more money by attending this business and getting all the great skills, the training that comes with it.
Exactly. And hey, I mean, man, if you want to be inspired and you really want to see your, like, your level of business take off, you need to attend. Like, honestly, I mean, if the funny thing is when every time that we went, you know, it was always something new that we learned. I mean, you know, the speakers that really, it's like an ignition, you know? And when I know we went with our kids one year, I think it was like 2019, 18, one of them. But all I know was it was, Walter Bonds. I think his name was Walter Bonds. But he was so inspiring that my daughter, she, I think she was like, 10, 11, 12, something like that at the time. She was like, I want to meet him. I want to know about, it was awesome. He talked about the sharks. Like, I didn't even know she was really paying attention. So, if a child can understand, you know, how to grow business and how to relate to people, definitely, guys, like, this is the type of stuff that we're learning. This is how we're growing. This is how you grow your teams. This is how you become a real, you know, a strong force within your business. This is your business. This is your brand. This is, you know, what you represent, what you're showing people. So yes, definitely. It's going to change your whole perspective. It changes your mindset. And I know that I don't want to go into too much, but Jeremy preached a really awesome message today about the mindset. Your mindset is everything. And really, I mean, when you attend Ambition, it's like your range of thinking just, it kind of, it shifts. And that's where you begin to rethink, refine the way that you do your business. Am I doing everything that I possibly can to grow my business? And that's what Ambit strives to do every single year with this event. So guys, get as soon as it comes out, register. Register.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a paradigm shift that you just have to be there to experience. And I always say,
yes,
you know, get your piggy bank out and start banking money, because I know every year, Deb, like,
yeah,
really nice dress.
Start making the money. There you go.
Yeah, have your ambition piggy bank, okay, because you need to put some money aside, right, where it doesn't sneak up on you. And if you just put a little bit aside after every paycheck, you're going to find that you have a little cachet of money there to stay in the right hotel that you want to stay in. Ladies that can buy those dresses that they want to get that always look so beautiful. And it's just something that everybody looks forward to, and you don't want to be there coming down to the last, you know, 30 days or 60 days and going, hey, I wish I could go, but I don't have the money, right? So
stock
it away. Listen, guys, I'm going to have to do some housekeeping. Hang tight for just a minute. I want to give you some final words before we close out, but I do want to share with everybody real quickly some things that are happening. Of course, we want to make sure that we understand there is a major event that's going to be coming up, a business builder training in Columbus. That's going to happen very shortly. It's going to be next month, and that's going to be on Saturday, May 4th. So you make sure that you get registered for that. That's an Ambit University Business Builder training that's going to happen at the Hilton Columbus at Easton, and that's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. So that will be a very,
I think
very
April the 27th, Lane, this Saturday, because I'll be there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I do apologize. It's April the 27th. They have it incorrect. In the power zone. Somebody needs to pick it up. It says May 4th. I clicked on the calendar for the 27th, and it went to May 4th. So anyway, thank you for correcting me. Everybody, that's going to be on the 27th. So don't miss that. That's going to be a great event, okay? Now, let's keep in mind also that April 26th, right, which is right around the corner, you know, that's going to be the ending for Community Solar Double Play. That's going to be the drop dead date for the Ambit Ultimate Perks, as well as the CAB Triple Play extended innings that we got, which is another bonus that is on the table, as well as the Jumpstart One Grand Slam. So all of these are going to come to a culmination on April 26th. So make sure you get that information out to your organization. Now, this next week, we're going to have SC Greg Soper out from Out West. He's going to be able to spend some quality time with us on the call. So excited to have Greg on the call. He's going to be talking about the principles of success, how to build grit in your business, and how to have a razor sharp people skills. And I'm excited to hear about that. So with no further ado, I want to give you guys just an opportunity to kind of share any final thoughts that you might have tonight. And I do appreciate you being on the call. I think this has been a powerful, informative call. And I look forward, of course, I bet a lot of people do, to the 27th when you'll be up there in Ohio training.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I don't have much to say, but I feel it in my heart. And if you allow me to say a short, quick prayer for everyone on this line before we close out tonight, is that okay?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We lift you up. You're worthy to be praised. We thank you for everyone that's on this call tonight. And God, I pray that you will send the increase and spark that fire in them and in their business. I pray that their finances increase through the efforts that they put out. I pray that they have a change in their mindset of how they want to pursue their goals and their ambition in this business. I pray that they take that fear out of them and move with boldness in this business, Lord, wherever distractions they may be facing, whatever discouragement they may be facing, or whatever hindrance in their business, I pray that you will break that cycle, Lord, and give them clear vision that they will succeed in this business. We pray and ask you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, I want to open up the line and make sure that everybody has an opportunity to give you guys a shout-out for the tremendous job you've done tonight. Thank you so much for the training tonight. Hold on just a second. Let me get all my ducks in a row here. And once again, guys, you were awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Lane. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Johnny.
Thank you.
Bless
the Lord
for you guys.
Great job.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Awesome job, Jeremy.
Thank you. Awesome call, Jeremy.
Thank you for that wonderful.